Okay, we're at 203 at the bottom, Nun Hei on top. That's for the regular books. Her book is different. Okay, the Alter Rebbe is explaining over here the importance of action and intent. Learning it Lishma properly for the right reasons. Because if a person learns it for the wrong reason, then it not only doesn't fly up, it flies down into evil, because you're taking Torah and using it for personal gratification, for yourself rather than for God. And he says, even though Torah is God's words, how can it go into evil? But nevertheless, it comes down into the physical world through many concealments and contractions and limitations, to the extent it comes into a physical world. So once Torah comes into the physical world, you could technically lower the Torah by learning it for the wrong reasons into evil. But he says like this, Avol b'tfila top line of Nun Hei, yeah? Avol tfila b'kavana, but when you daven properly with intent. V'tera b'kavana l'shma, and you learn Torah for the right purposes. Kavana mislabeshes b'isis adibur, then your intent, meaning your neshama, your life, your wings, go into the physical words. Hel v'himaka v'sheresham, because it's the source and origin for them. Shemachamasa ubisibasa, because it's for Hashem that we're saying the words. Medaber Aisi, so why are you saying the words? Because this is what Hashem wants us to do. So we're davening and learning because Hashem wants us to do it. Lachain, therefore, because now your kavana, your intent, which means your love and fear, and the intent of the prayer or learning, dresses itself into the physical wording, and it makes it fly up to the spiritual worlds. In other words, you want to get things done the right way, do it because God wants us to do it. If you do it because you enjoy it, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Now, Hashem says do it for the wrong reasons because eventually you will come to do it for the right reasons. But the bottom line is, do it for the right reasons because then you're getting it done where it's supposed to go.
Ultimately the best to do it because you enjoy it and you want to do it because God said so? Isn't that a beautiful...
The enjoyment is because Hashem wants me to do it and I want to connect to Hashem. At the same time, you need what's called Kabbalah soil. We do it because Hashem said so. Not because I gain anything out of it. Right. Therefore, the kavana, the intent that you had, or the right purposes, the lishma, that you're doing it for the right purposes, himayla eisam amakema, elevated to its place. But yotzvir is the yitzira, whether the 10 attributes of the world of yitzira, if they're emotional ones, or bria, or like you said before, if they're intellectual ones, it goes even higher to the world of bria. The fima shehiba kavana, whatever based on the kavana, whether it's love and fear of intellectual, stimulated love and fear, then it goes to the world of Briel, like you said before, the higher world, or Tivim, if it's natural love and fear, then it goes to the lower world of Yetzirah. But bottom line is, it goes up. It goes somewhere. Question, how high does it go? If it's natural, instinctive love, then it goes up to a certain level. If you created an open love and fear through meditation, and you're doing it for that, then it goes even higher. Then it becomes revealed the will of Hashem. Shuratzina Elyon Baruch Hu, which is the will of Hashem, Hamalubish, which puts itself in to the letters of Torah Shalemid, the letters of Torah that the person learns, Uva Kavanosim, and the intent of the learning and davening, or B'tfilo b'kavanasa, whether it's, first he said about Torah. Then he says whether it's davening and the intent of davening. Or b'mitzvah b'kavanasa. Or mitzvah and the kavana of the mitzvah. Meaning doing it not because I enjoy it, because Hashem wants me to do it and I want to attach myself to Hashem. Ba'ara g'deilu le'inketz. Then it becomes connected to an infinite revelation of Hashem. Mash lo yuchol lahoyer v'lizgal is klal. That this level of godliness cannot at all be revealed by the Aesis Vam Mitzvah Ba'ilmazah Gashmi, when the mitzvah is still only in the physical way before the Jew does it. In other words, when a Jew does a mitzvah properly with intent and love and fear, what actually happens is they bring down a revelation of godliness that would never ever be able to come into the world itself just by the esrog on the table, or the tefillin on the table, or the candle on the table, or the book on the table without actually learning it. Because when the Jew does the mitzvah for the right purposes, they actually reveal a level of godliness that is so great that it cannot normally come into the physical world. That's what a person does. And that's why, you know, before Baruch Shamar, a lot of Jews say it before they do any mitzvah. It's called L'shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu, and all the other places they say, before they put on tefillin, they say L'shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechintei, this is to unite God and the Shekhinah, and we say it before Baruch Shamar every morning, and davening before Baruch Shamar we say it. L'shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechintei. What does that mean? Okay. Simply it means, you take an English sitter, there's a very interesting definition of it. It says, to unite, yeah, for the sake of the union of the holy name, blessed be he, with his Shekhinah, to unite the name Yudke with Vavke in a perfect union in the name of all Israel. Now what does that mean? To unite the union of God with his Shekhinah. Okay? So it says like this. And this is a remarkable thing that happened. And the reason why Chabad doesn't say it verbally, because when we make a bracha, that's what the bracha actually means. And I'll explain this in a second. You say that out loud? You say quietly, by the way. Okay, but what does this mean? It means like this. If you have two separate people, separate, they cannot procreate. In order to procreate, in order to make more, you need a union between male and female. Union of male and female procreates more. Separate male and female does not procreate. That's very simple, right? In godliness, it's the same thing. The name of God, we learned many times, Yudke Vavke, right? Yud is Chochma, He is Bina. We learned already, Yud is the level of the man, He is the level of the woman. That's why masculine is Yud, feminine is He. Okay? Then the Vav and the He is son and daughter. So the name Yudke Vavke is husband, wife, son, and daughter. Now, what does it mean male and female up there? Okay? Now, when Chochmah and Bina, the Alter Rebbe says in the third parak of Tanya, when you have the brainstorm, you know, the initial flash, which is Chochmah, and then you meditate on it, so you're uniting Chochmah and Bina, father and mother, you give birth to Midas, to emotions. Intellect stimulates emotions. When you think about how great something is, you love it. If you think how powerful something is, you fear it. Right? Just think about the hurricanes. Yeah, and you'll fear it, especially if you're there. You'll fear it. Okay? So Yud and He, which is Chochmah and Bina, unite, because separately they don't do anything. They unite and they create the six Midas, the children. Midas, the Ava Aim, father and mother, is the intellect. Son and daughter, which are the children, are called the Midas. Now, but if you have son and daughter, again, no incest over here, but when you have son and daughter separately, there's no procreation to bring it down more. When there's a unity between the six fetus and Malchus, which another name is Kodesh Baruch Hu, is the six fetus of Chesed Gevurah Tiferes Netzach and Yesod. Shechina is Malchus. Okay? Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu is masculine. Shechina is feminine, because there's the Kaddish Baruch Hu and Shechina. So what happens when a person does a mitzvah? Without the mitzvah, like the Alter Rebbe says over here, what happens is, you got the levels of Kedusha, but they're not doing anything. When a person does a mitzvah, what they're actually doing is causing a spiritual unity between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Shechina, the son and the daughter, the male and the female, and that creates greater revelations into the world. So when the Jew doesn't do the mitzvah, these revelations of godliness cannot exist in the world because there's no unity between Kadosh Baruch Hu, the six Sfiras, and Malchus. They're separate. What happens when a Jew does a mitzvah? We say, L'shem, what is the purpose of the mitzvah? Yichud, Kutcher, Brichu, Shchintei, to unite the male level and the female level, the son and daughter level, to create greater revelations in the world. So that actually what happens when a Jew does a mitzvah. No matter what the mitzvah is. Any mitzvah a Jew does, they actually create a revelation of godliness greater in the world by uniting Kadosh Baruch Hu and Shechina. Because now that they're united, they can procreate. Okay? The reason why in Chabad we don't say that, because the way Chassidus defines the bracha that we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, it means the exact same thing. What does that mean? The word Baruch, simply a bless Adao, O Lord, our God, King of the Universe, right? That's English translation. Baruch does not only mean blessed. Baruch in Hebrew means to bring down. Okay, there's a pasuk in Chumash, when, you know, Eliezer came for the shidduch for Rivka, and he came, brought the camels to the well, and Rivka said, okay, let me give him to drink. So it says in the pasuk, Vayavreich esagmalim. She made the camels kneel. You know, the knees in Hebrew are called berkayim. Same word as baruch. Baruch and berkayim, kneeling. The knees in Hebrew are called berkayim. Vayavrech esagmalim, or there's a mishnah that says, you know, you're not allowed to plant vines and wheat together. So the mishnah says, amavrech esagefen. If somebody bends down the vine into the grape, into the wheat. So it's a sin because you planted them together. The word baruch means to bring down. Okay? Ata, you. You means you, nameless you. Your essence. Above name. So what are we bringing down? We're bringing baruch, we're bringing down the essence of God. Hashem Elokeinu. What the two names of God? Havaya is like Kadosh Baruch Hu. Elokeinu is like Malchus. And then it becomes Melech HaOlam. Then it becomes the King of the world. We bring this godliness into the world. So what does the bracha basically mean? The bracha means we are bringing down, right? You light Shabbos candles. You're going to be making a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvot Tzivanu. What are you saying basically? The way Chassidus defines the blessing. Don't think too much by the bracha. It'll take you 3 hours to ben shlicht. Baruch, to bring down Atah you, the essence of God, that's able to unite Havaya Elokeinu, the God, and meaning the removed level of God, the natural level of God, the supernatural level of God, and the natural level of God. And then it becomes Melech HaOlam, the King of the world, meaning it affects the whole world. We bring godliness into the world. Because if Kadosh Baruch Hu and Shechina is male and female, correct? Or one is the infinite level of God, and one is the finite level of God. How can you unite two opposites? Male and female are opposites. Finite, infinite is opposites. Okay? It only comes to the level of Atah, the essence of God, which is above both, so he can unite Hashem and Elokeinu. He can unite Kadosh Baruch Hu Ushchintei. He can unite Kadosh Baruch Hu and Shechina. And then, then it comes then into the world. So the Alter Rebbe says, when a person does a bracha prop, a mitzvah properly, for the right intent. So basically what happens is the intent of the Jew comes into the mitzvah. He elevates it to a much, much, much greater level. And by doing that, he's able to bring down a level of godliness that normally cannot be revealed in the world if the Jew didn't do that mitzvah. And that's why, what's the bracha? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysev. God sanctified us. What is the sanctity that we have? The sanctity that we have is we could bring infinite God into a finite world that naturally does not happen. So you do, as they say in America, one lousy mitzvah. Okay? You do one simple mitzvah. This is what happens. You bring down the essence of God into the physical world, like Dr. Rebbe says, that otherwise couldn't happen. But that's only when you do the mitzvah correctly, for the right reasons. Because if you're doing a mitzvah to become famous, then instead of bringing God into the world, you want to make yourself greater. That contradicts revealing godliness in the world. Revealing godliness in the world, the vessel for godliness in the world is humility. If you're going to become full of yourself, then you can't bring godliness into the world because you're not letting him. Okay. Okay, exactly in the middle of the page, the last of the wide lines before they get narrower. Ad eis keitz, until Mashiach comes, she yasala ha'elam, then the world b'chlal will become elevated. Migash miyusi, from the physicality, v'nigla kveid Hashem, and then the glory of God will be revealed in the world, and then everybody will see the way the physical world essentially is really only an extension of Hashem. But what did Alter Rebbe say before? Alter Rebbe said, this revelation, and this is what he's still in the middle of explaining, the revelation of the essence of the Mashiach, yeah, is dependent on what we do during the time of Golos. Meaning, how much revelation of godliness will be when Mashiach comes, when the essence of God will be revealed, and the whole world will see that it's only God, that depends on how many termitzes we do now. Because now, what happens when Mashiach comes? Godliness will be permeating. Now we're making that happen. When you do a mitzvah, even though we don't see it. But bottom line is, when we do a mitzvah, whether we like it or not, whether we know about it or not, whether we're aware of it or not, you do a mitzvah, you're revealing infinite godliness into the world. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be revealed all that we did in the time of exile. The time of Golos. What?
Just a quick question. So the group, the whole group of the Jewish people, all their mitzvahs that they're doing, do they have to do a certain amount before the Mashiach can come? As a unity?
Mitzvahs are accumulative.
You're right.
Of all generations.
Mm-hmm. So let's say, I know that I read in the Torah where Hashem hardened Pharaoh's heart, and until he had reached that point of doing all these problems for the Jews, he wasn't going to go in and, punishment. So my thinking is, do we have to reach a certain level of doing the mitzvahs and the right things before we see the Mashiach? Will he only come after we've reached that level?
We can hasten his coming by us doing more mitzvahs.
Okay.
In other words, as the straw that breaks the camel's back,
Yeah. Here's
the positive way. There's going to be one mitzvah that breaks the camel's back of Golos, and Mashiach comes. It might be your mitzvah, it might be my mitzvah, it might be her mitzvah, his mitzvah, who knows?
Isn't this concept of, when Mashiach comes, isn't that just going to be the perfect world? That's stage one.
That's stage one.
Now it depends on how many mitzvahs we do here, and maybe we're not going to see an amazing amount of God.
There we will.
In that Mashiach period, we didn't do it that good, but
we did it plenty.
I'm just like, it sounds a little strange.
When does Hashem have more pleasure? when it's easy to do mitzvahs and they're done, when they're hard to do. Obviously, right?
Yeah.
It's a greater accomplishment. Is it better to do more mitzvahs when it's easy, or less mitzvahs when it's hard?
Is that a trick question?
Well, it's not a trick question. Obviously, both are important. You need quantity and quality.
It's easier to do when it's easy.
Okay, but in the time of Golus, when Hashem makes it so difficult for us,
yeah.
You know, and yet we still do mitzvahs.
Right.
So we get much more brownie points per mitzvah
okay.
than they did in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, obviously. Because if it's harder to do, the greater the reward. Like this doesn't pick up. Lefum tzair agra, based on the pain, is a reward. The harder it is to do a mitzvah. So is there a limit amount of mitzvahs we have to do? No, we have to do all mitzvahs. Keep doing mitzvahs. Keep on trucking. But eventually, it will happen, the Mashiach will come. We can hasten his coming by getting the world more ready for Mashiach earlier. Or we can laze around and do nothing. And Mashiach's going to come anyway. The question is, are we going to make him come sooner? But the primary revelation of this essential level of godliness is the second era, when the Tchias HaMeisa, when the resurrection happens. What? What?
When we had the second base on the
first. Right.
Like a lot of people were, they were fighting with each other.
What else is new?
Right. So that's like such a huge mitzvah.
That's why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed.
Right. So is it easier to do mitzvahs when we have the Beis
Hamikdash? Of course it's much easier. They had revelations of godliness. You saw it. Okay. Right. It's much easier to do mitzvahs. They didn't do enough mitzvahs. They did mitzvahs, but, you know, they still sinned.
Does a non-Jew's mitzvahs count?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Because I can see a lot of pouring out of mankind kindness with all these terrible things.
Look what's going on now all over the world. They're helping Houston and who knows what's going to be in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, people are helping.
They are.
But there's two aspects of that. I mean, we learned this a bunch of times, but briefly, the purpose of the seven Noahic laws is to civilize the world. Okay? When you want to get something done, you can't work in a jungle. You need a civilized place to work. The purpose of the non-Jew, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Nech, which is acts of goodness and kindness, basically, no cruelty to animals, setting up judiciaries and not commit adultery, and murder, and stealing, you know, the regular, these are all civilizing the world to make the world a good place. Then the Jews come in and bring the holiness into the world through the mitzvah. So the seven Noahic laws don't bring Kedusha into the world. They civilize the world, which is equally important. Because without a civilized world, and that's why there's 16 million Jews and 7 billion people. Well, it depends if we merit or don't merit, whatever. But bottom line is, you know, if you have an office and you're running a business, if you just count how many people it took you to have your office and everything in it, they had to plant the trees, chop the trees, make the desk, make the computer. You know, it's like a million people for you just to sit down at your desk, at your table with a computer and run a business. So the percentage of people getting everything ready is far greater. But that's the purpose of the world. Acts of goodness and kindness, right, is the purpose of everybody. Every human. Jews have the addition, the chosen people, so to speak, the purpose of bringing Kedusha into the civilized world that they made. But they don't bring Kedusha into the world.
Are we supposed to bring, like when it comes to business and hiring people and bringing people into our communities, are we supposed to make sure somehow that we're bringing good people into our community?
You don't want bad people in your community.
No, but some
there's enough of them.
Right.
Yeah, there being more.
Well, that's my question. Like, what I'm saying.
Halachically, this applies to Jew and non-Jew, by the way. According to law, a person should not live in a neighborhood with corrupt people because it will affect them. They'll become corrupt.
Right, and
So every person is supposed to try to live in a good...
When you're doing business and you're hiring employees...
You don't want to deal with cheats and thieves and...
Okay, you could say it like casually, like, oh, you don't want to have bad people around. But the question is, like, if you know that you have an employee that maybe stole things...
So you don't keep them because they can keep stealing.
Has children that steal, or has children that break the laws, or that they broke the laws, or...
Then you try to avoid it.
They have the tattoos that show that they want
to... That doesn't mean anything for an Anjou.
What?
Doesn't mean anything. Okay.
No,